Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Planet Sky FF, the show every week that revolves around £50,000. My name is Serge.
And my name is James.
Sky Fantasy Football, middle of a game week this week. So we've still got 8 games to go.
Yeah, recording Wednesday morning. How's your game week been so far?
My game week has been better than yours, as we established. By a point so far. You have a couple extra players, I think, to play than I do. But yeah, generally it's been okay. 98 points. When we spoke last week, you mentioned that 150 point number is 75-75. I did think that, hang on, that's ambitious. But I suppose I'm not used to those kind of numbers in any fantasy football game ever. I think my highest ever score is 112 in FPL. So like 150 feels like, you know what, that's a monster score. But it is a full-on double game week.
Well, I'd be very disappointed to be hitting anything below that number now.
Yeah, I'm on 98. You're on 97. So we're fairly even Stevens at the moment. I made one transfer at the weekend. Sorry, Pepe was gone. Two transfers, I'm lying to you. Pepe's gone and I bought Madison in the end. I've just played it so safe. And then I got rid of Gilbert and bought in Tomori, who didn't keep a clean sheet for Chelsea at the weekend, but he did pick up a tier 2 passing bonus. And I had returns from Sterling and Vardy at the weekend in terms of captaincy. So
we assume you stayed and captained Sterling on Saturday.
Yep.
And Good, well done.
And I captained him last night for what it was not worth. But
yeah, no,
it doesn't
right
matter
thing.
Because I got the extra game out of him and now Mane can come in tonight.
You did the right thing.
Happy days. Yeah, I didn't quite think of that extra fixture. This is where Sky is that little bit trickier.
Yeah, and I had a similar conundrum. I haven't made any transfers yet this game week. I've got 9 to go. I may well have 11 to go yet. As I said, I've not made any transfers yet. The big debate that I'd gone through last week was Harry Wilson out for Tomori in, and my instinct, the FPL player in me, was like Bournemouth away to Spurs, not even sure if he'll start. Chelsea at home to West Ham could be a double point haul for Tomori. Let's not wait, let's get this done now. And then on reflection, I'm looking at it and going, well, it's not a certainty to keep a clean sheet, as much as I think in my heart and my head that they probably will keep a clean sheet. That's just a prediction, right?
Yeah.
Give yourself the basis of that extra number. It's just stacking the odds in your favour, isn't it?
Mm.
I'm sitting there at Tottenham at half-time, seeing Harry Wilson still sitting on the bench. I knew that Chelsea was 0-0, and I'm thinking, should have gone with my instinct here.
Yeah,
all that
yeah,
on the
yeah.
stats, but he obviously flipped. Wilson came on and scored twice. Bournemouth were instantly better as soon as he came on, and then obviously West Ham scored. So it worked out as a really nice swing in my favour of the 12 points doing that. Obviously watching the game and seeing how much better Bournemouth were when he came on, I then kind of knew that he was going to play against Palace last night. So I thought, give it the game, reassess again. I thought he and Bournemouth overall, I watched all of that game, were poor, really poor.
Yesterday.
Yeah,
yeah,
and they've got a tough run of fixtures coming up, Bournemouth, which starts with Liverpool this weekend. So I will be making that move from Harry Wilson to Tomori tonight. Mm.
Good, good, good. I got rid of Nicola Pepe at the weekend finally for Maddo, like I said. So I think that was quite a safe pick.
I don't know how Pepe stayed there so long.
Yeah,
mate.
No, me neither. I don't know what Arsenal are doing with him on the bench now, but Pepe's gone, Madison in. Nice captaincy returns at the weekend. So tonight you're captaining?
Oh, Jamie Vardy tonight, Aubameyang tomorrow.
Mm, and you own Sadio Mane, right?
I do own Mane as well. Yeah,
tough. Tough decision on that one. I'm going to go with Jamie Vardy as well, and I'm going to sell Raheem Sterling for Sadio Mane. And tomorrow, your captain is
Aubameyang tomorrow.
Yeah, I have Aubameyang as well tomorrow. Very similar team, so a lot of players out there.
Mane Saturday.
Yeah,
it's a temptation to Kevin De Bruyne actually, but I do Mane Saturday and Jamie Vardy Sunday.
I'm going to be pretty much in the same boat.
And obviously Aubameyang Monday.
Monday night, yeah. Monday night football, exciting times. I've had a rank rise to 27K, which is decent. We're just making progress, slow and steady, really, as we're going along. And now we've got, we're entering into only a week and a half away from this liver blank that's coming around the corner. So now it's potentially time to start thinking about coming off any Liverpool assets and what we're going to do with those as well.
Yeah, I mentioned I might still have 11 to go. There's another transfer that I'm thinking, which I think brings a wider conversation in that we need to have. I'm thinking of getting rid of Ederson. And before the weekend, I was very much in mode, this is fine, it's okay. They're a top side. I watched them at Newcastle and they underwhelmed with their intensity. Last night at Burnley, they had it, but it doesn't solve the riddle of the problems that they have defensively. Mm-hmm. I mean, they should never have conceded a goal last night. And it, as an owner, it's really frustrating.
Imagine owning him in FPL and Sky FF as well. The 89th minute goal was a kick in the nuts.
And it feels like in terms of if you want to come off Manchester City, now feels like the right time. You're talking about going from Sterling to Mane tonight. Well, I don't think you're talking about it. You've decided, haven't you?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. I just need to reassess the spreadsheet one more time.
I think from a goalkeeper perspective, if you're looking to move away from Ederson, I think there are two real candidates here. One is Gaeta, but the timing's wrong with Palace having played last night.
He's the third highest scorer with 73 points at the moment, but he's cheap at 6.4 million is decent value.
Yeah, but I'm going to go with the other guy that's also 6.4 million. I'm going to go with Dean Henderson, who is the second highest scorer of the keepers so far this season with 79 points. I started drilling into his numbers the last few days and they look very impressive. Saves tier at Wolves, saves tier at Tottenham, clean sheet against Burnley, saves tier at West Ham, clean sheet against Arsenal plus save tier, clean sheet and man of the match at Watford, save tier against Liverpool, save tier against Everton, save tier 2 against Southampton, save tier against Chelsea. The last time he had no return of save tiers of any sort was the 24th of August against Leicester. He's actually only really blanked twice, obviously missed the Manchester United game through being ineligible. He's hit Tier 2 saves only once. He's hit Tier 1 saves 8 times. Mm. That's given you a starting point of 5 points a game at a value. And I think we took the real opinion, I think most people did really early in the season, that the difference in value between these guys and Alisson and Ederson wasn't worth the saving. And I don't need to be desperate to be making the saving here either. I'm taking it on the opinion that I've really got no trust in City defensively at the moment until Aymeric Laporte returns. And we like Sheffield United's fixtures coming up. Next five, Newcastle, Norwich, Villa, Brighton, Watford. Then there's obviously City, Liverpool. And then there's the West Ham fixture on the 10th of January.
Yeah, you haven't got any other Sheffield United players, have you?
And it gives me the coverage. Mm.
I bought in George Baldock last week, which gives me the coverage there. And he kindly picked up the assist the other day. This is one of those games where the double up on defence is slightly different to the double up in FPL, for example, because of the tier points. So it's like, even if you lost the clean sheet with Sheffield United, they could easily both pick up 5 or 6 points because of the tier points. So I think that's a particularly good strategy with Henderson coming up. What it would pose me a problem where I've got 2.5 million in the bank. If I downgrade Ederson to Henderson, that gives me another 1.5 million. I've got 4 million in the bank. My front line is as expensive as it can get anyway with Vardy, Mane and Aubameyang. I've got Kevin De Bruyne. and Madison and Trent. Like, I don't know who. Soyuncu's not going anywhere. Baldock's not going anywhere. And Tomori's not going anywhere. So the only player that I can spend that money to upgrade is Mason Mount. And I can literally afford anyone at that point.
Well, Mason Mount might be becoming a problem.
Yeah.
I will also be, if I'm obviously going Harry Wilson to Tomori, it's a drop down in price. And obviously Edison to Henderson's also a drop down in price. It will leave me, I think, just under 3 million in the bank.
Yeah.
When essentially I've got nearly nothing at the moment. And it does allow suddenly that kind of move to go like Mount to Pulisic.
Yeah.
Or it brings, brings other people into the conversation, such as Dele Alli maybe, who I don't think dive on, but he's really expensive. Wilfried Zaha for the Palace coverage throughout this month might be another one to consider.
Antonio?
Not until after the blank. I know you mentioned it last week.
Yeah, I definitely
but obviously
think hold tight to after
when
the
Liverpool
blank.
Blank, West Ham blank. So not before then, no. I really, unless you were desperate for a Monday night coverage and you haven't got any.
I mean, most people will have a Bamiyang.
I really, no. So. Not on the other side, maybe. Maybe. I don't know what price Antonio is.
He is 8 point something in this. I'll confirm exactly.
The other thing with 8-2 Henderson and Sheffield United is, I think those of, we haven't spoken about them much on this game. We kind of advised defensively Baldock, who is obviously the one that you've gone for. He is on four yellows, which is worth pointing out as well. So that might be one where once he picks up that suspension, which he probably will between, I think the cutoff is January the 1st. He probably will pick up a booking in that time. And you might decide then, right, I'll fire this out and move that money, possibly even into the midfield. Another name's obviously Richarlison.
Yeah.
He's so consistent in this game. So it does suddenly bring in where we've looked at the midfield players at that value and gone, oh, those expensive ones, there's nothing there. It possibly does bring them into the conversation because with the likes of Soyuncu and Tomori, like, there's no need to... I'm not making these moves as a cost-saving exercise. I'm making these moves because I think they're going to improve the points that I'm going to get.
Yeah.
Dean Henderson is comfortably, so far, Sheffield United's highest scorer in this game. Comfortably. Henderson's on 79 points so far. Ender Stevens, 64. Baldock, 62. And it's because of those savings here where he's just constantly racking them up. He's getting up on these guys, Stevens and Baldock, because they're not hitting the tiering.
No, I agree with you on that. The move to Dele Alli is a very interesting one because one of the things we've always lamented in this game is lack of midfield options. He's 10.6, so it's expensive, but he's now up to 53 points and it's only going one way. I mean, he scored 41 in his last four. And literally nothing before, but he was injured for pretty much the first 10 games or whatever it was. But Dele Alli is one that I may go to rather than move Mount to Dele Alli, hold tight for a week or so and get rid of Trent Alexander-Arnold, who I probably would say has underwhelmed in this game a little bit, and move him to Dele Alli and then maybe sacrifice Mount a couple of weeks later to bring Trent or Robbo back, depending on which I decide to go with. But yeah, Dele Alli is a real consideration. The only thing that Spurs, though, it doesn't help me from a captaincy coverage point of view, but I've got the money sitting around, so...
No, but if you don't intend to go to Kane or Son...
Well, I did intend to go to Kane after... when Vardy... when Leicester played their game when they've got Liverpool and City in that little period, I think you play three times to their two and their two are Liverpool and City. So that was when I was looking at Vardy to Kane.
I don't think I'd be moving off Vardy. I think I'll carry him through them two fixtures.
Mm. Well, if he keeps doing what he's doing, then it's getting harder and harder not to.
I know my next four moves, bar something that comes up with injury suspension. So I'll go Harry Wilson to Tomori tonight, Edison to Henderson tomorrow before the fixture with Newcastle. Then I'm waiting. I'm going to hold Kevin De Bruyne as a Man City asset, by the way. No faults have coming off.
Yeah.
After the Liverpool game, I'll move straight off Alexander-Arnold to Zaha for the Monday night game coverage against Brighton, Mane to Rashford, and then following week, Aubameyang's at Everton, probably captaining because that's a really awkward game day, and then move to Kane for the fixture against Chelsea on the Sunday, which then covers through a really nice period of Spurs away games when actually I'd be more tempted to captain Harry Kane than the home fixtures.
Yep.
and that's me set on moves, and that's going to still leave me money in the bank. Then at that point, I'm definitely looking to fire a Liverpool player back in, mm-hmm. be it Mane, it could be Salah by then. I think I will want to get defensive coverage back, be it Trent or VVD, for example. And I'm still going to have that money knocking about. And it might be with doubts about Mount now that Pulisic might be the one that really stands out. I think he's up to about 7th or 8th top scoring midfielders now.
Yeah,
he's which considering there. His minutes so far is pretty handy.
Pretty decent. So now you're in this conundrum. You've got Wilf Zaha that you've mentioned, 10.3. Dele Alli, 10.6. And Christian Pulisic, 10.1. They're all within half a million of each other. Do you see yourself in a potential situation where you could have all three? I could see myself with Pulisic and Dele Alli, but I couldn't see myself with all three.
Only if I ended up going with sort of like Abraham or feeling like I was going to go back to Pukki, or at least Moussa's unbelievably cheap if he continues his run.
Jimenez,
but it
maybe.
Doesn't feel like Jimenez is still expensive in this 10-6 or something. So it would only be if you were dropping down to one of them real forwards. You're still going to struggle to have more than two at that sort of 10 million midfield bracket if we end up going down that route, which I think for the majority of us is still going to be KDB plus one.
Yeah.
Just think, for me in the short term, while I'm shoving the money of sort of Trent and Mane, Zaha for this Palace period, plus the Monday night coverage of the fixture against Brighton on, I think it's the 16th of December.
Mm-hmm.
And then once I want to shove that back, which will probably be shoving it back from Zaha, it could be that I'm then ending up with like a Pulisic as well. I can't see that idea where I end up staying at Zaha's value to a Pulisic, not going back to Liverpool and adding Dele Alli or Richarlison to that, for example.
Yeah.
So, but I think these really high-priced midfielders are about to come into this game, actually.
I agree with you on that, definitely. Should we do some questions and some other bits and pieces? Let's talk first about a tweet sent by our friend Mark Edworthy.
Now, don't blame Mark, right? Because
at Mark, Sky Podcast.
Mark got this information because somebody, and I have no idea who it was, went on a podcast, I think The Sporting Life, and revealed all this data.
Oh, really?
And that's where it came from.
Okay. Just making a mental note here to Google Sporting Life.
Before anyone cries and blames Mark for releasing the information, someone gave Mark the
why
information.
Why do people cry about
from,
this shit
from
anyway?
Another podcast.
Why do people care?
Well, somebody did cry about this last year, and that's why this information is not openly available to everybody. But this information did get leaked from a source last week, so we can share this with you. So as it stands now...
Well, it's on Twitter, isn't it?
Well, yeah, but not everybody will have seen, obviously, Mark's tweet and that.
Yeah, do follow him at
Mark,
Sky Podcast.
At Sky Podcast. Mark, do a podcast.
Yeah,
soon,
exactly,
mate.
Man. Come on.
So as of last Friday, these are average remaining transfers per rank. So in the top 10 at the moment, there is an average of 8.5 transfers left. That's all they've got.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't get much better. Top 100, 10.4 transfers left. Top 1,000, 14.1 transfers left. Top 5,000, 17.1 transfers left.
Wait, what's your rank now, give or take?
9,000.
Okay, so, yeah. In a touching distance, really, of the top five, like maybe 20 points or something like that.
I think I'm in a position now getting to know the game, how I want to play, knowing the mistakes I've made really early in the season, which I think because of the template nature of the game at the moment makes it incredibly unlikely for me to win the whole thing with my lack of experience as well. But I think now I'd probably, looking at them numbers, I'd be disappointed not to finish top 1,000.
I'm with you. And now I'm 27,000 at the moment. I still think top 1,000 is where I want to get to. I said to Dan when we recorded with him in the international break that my rank will have four figures by the time we speak, maybe in January or what have you, like into the top 10K within 4 weeks because of the amount of football that there is between now and New Year's, and then really push. Top 1,000, I think I really want to get into. And I'm actually now more engaged with this than ever. It's really interesting because of the static nature of the prices. Makes it so much easier to plan.
Yes.
Mm.
I think for those who are ranked higher than us and those who are in the top 1,000 and thinking, oh, Stuart, you've got a real chance. These numbers are madness.
Yeah.
There are clearly so many people above us who they're going to be so screwed, mate. I'm not joking. How they manoeuvred at Blank's doubles and stuff like that.
I guess the overhaul is what they're hoping for now, and trying to set a team up that will keep them going until the end of the season.
Will we even remember? Are a lot of those teams, are they in a position where they've had fun through August and haven't logged back in?
Yeah.
And they've just hammered it the first month or so, and they've got a dead team sitting there that's doing all right. We obviously don't have that information. But yeah, you know, if you're sitting there thinking, oh crap, I've used 15 or something, like it's all right. There's so many people above you who are essentially
They're above you.
They're not in this game anymore.
Yeah, agreed. That's why the leaderboard is very difficult. And it leads on to the question from Dan, who has fired it in. With the transfers being left of top 10, top 100 and so on and so on, what's your thoughts on a high finish, and should others on Twitter in the top 100 start believing they have a real chance of win? I'm talking specifically about Heskibo, I think.
Heskibo's having an amazing season. He's his overall, but he's top of the Planet FPL mini league at the moment.
Shout out Heskibo.
He's a good lad. Yeah, he's got a brilliant chance. And all the experienced players like Dan and Mark, they've all got a chance. They've, you know, Paul came on at Sky Play and FPL, and Dan spoke to us about kind of the players that they look out for. They're right up there, and there are new emerging players like Heskibo, etc., and like Sujan Shah.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm there, mate. But Heskibo, you need to DM me, mate, because I've got a really interesting business opportunity for you once you win the £50,000. So get in early now before you win the money for this chance to win.
Should we... we've not spoken about this, but we did say our prize for winning the FPL Mini League would be to come on this.
Yeah, yeah.
Should we do that for this as well?
Why not?
There you go.
Let's do it.
Winner of the Planet FPL Mini League can come on a podcast.
Oh, yeah. What are the caveats? They've got to be able to speak either English, Russian, French or Gujarati, because I can manage those.
It's an English game, so hopefully they can speak English. I hope who wins the Planet FPL Mini League can speak English. That's going to be problematic, potentially.
No, we'll figure out. We'll get a translator on. No problem at all.
I think it depends on your transfers as well, right? So, I mean, I've used 5 transfers so far. Technically, I could still win the whole shebang. I think because if the game wasn't so template-y at the moment, I wouldn't actually rule it out. I think my inexperience would obviously count against me as well, and there's so many good players.
Well, you talk about the template. I mean, at the Blue City has tweeted in and said, are any Spurs players viable options in Sky, considering that Ali is very expensive and that Son is a forward, not a midfielder? But then flip it on its head. Ali isn't that expensive compared to some of the strikers. I think 10.6 is probably a fair price.
It's basically Son's price.
But it's a midfielder playing as a forward.
Well, yeah. I mean,
as opposed to a forward playing as a winger, which is Son.
We'd all, if we could, we'd play 4-1-5, wouldn't we? Like, all of us.
But Dele Alli, I think, is a solid consideration based on what I've seen under Mourinho and his positioning, and you've talked about it. He's playing as a second striker, and he's breaking into the box, and he's scored goals. So Dele is a real consideration for me.
It's not an immediate for me. I don't really see the captaincy there. You can make a case for Spurs at Wolves on Sunday week, but I think that's why I would probably favour going to Marcus Rashford before Harry Kane first. And then I think you can target Spurs really the 22nd Chelsea at home, which is obviously
22nd December. As opposed to game week
December, which is obviously still a very good fixture, but you're getting it in for potentially that extra game over those who play on the Saturday, with then Brighton away, Norwich away, Southampton away. And I think it's with those fixtures in mind, I would still be edging towards Kane. Ali would be a great differential, and if it comes up trumps, fantastic. I certainly wouldn't make that move if I was in a strong position at the moment, I would say.
Yeah, I feel like it's to really get up there into the top K, I need one or two differentials to really come in. And of all of them out there, I prefer Dele Alli to Zaha, for example, as a potential consideration.
I don't. I mean, on Palace last night, you can't judge it because they played 70 minutes with 10 men.
Yeah, true.
And actually still deserved to win, but they obviously just completely sat behind the ball.
Yeah,
and tried so to you just can't catch them judge on the counter. That. Essentially, all I'm going to miss now on Zaha, it feels like more, but it's only one more fixture, which is it's Watford away this weekend. And then obviously they don't play till the Monday night against Brighton, and that's when I'm going to fire him. He's going to be my differential. I think there will be others will go to him because of the the tendency to feel I've got to get that captaincy coverage. I'm going to start with the captaincy coverage, but then covering through possibly up until sort of they play Arsenal January. And once I'm into that period, it might just be worth just sitting on it till the overhaul, yeah. Unless there's something obvious.
Mm. Peter P. Brown asked a question. Who's the main front three you want taken into consideration the fixtures? Robert Hunt also says, who to replace City assets with? He's talking about Sterling specifically, whether to go to Kane or Son. From my point of view, Aubameyang staying until the Everton away game because of the captaincy coverage he gives me. Jamie Vardy is not going anywhere. But then I'm sitting on Sterling. So I was looking at getting in Sadio Mane.
And it's only three games.
Yeah.
I still think that's the right move.
Mane.
Yeah.
Yeah, he will do well. And then during that blank period, I'll be moving from Mane to Harry Kane or Vardy to Kane, and then coming off of Aubameyang and going to Aguero or Sterling, depending on which one of the two is fit at the time. So I'll end up with... back to Vardy, Aguero and Mane.
I still think that's, even though you're going to then have to move Mane in after the Watford fixture in three games time, I still think that's the right move. You've got to look in this case in terms of the potential immediate gains of that. So it's Everton at home tonight. They finish with Watford at home. The two good home fixtures. In between that, we think, I mean, we've both got Vardy and Aubameyang as well. Now, between now and that Liverpool-Watford fixture, Vardy and Aubameyang covered the rest except for one game day, which essentially is this Saturday. I think Mane is probably the best choice this coming Saturday. And that's why I would edge him. I can understand Spurs at home to Burnley, why that brings Spurs into the conversation. Because I think anybody who then goes to Kane or Son, they're captaining them this Saturday.
Yeah.
And then you're not forced to make that transfer. And then you're carrying through all the way into that Christmas period. So you're not going in for the Wolves or the Chelsea game. You're going in now. And it just means you're holding a lot longer, which obviously does have the benefit of saving you one extra transfer.
Yep. I'm curious about Spurs v Burnley, because Burnley are off the back of two defeats now. All right, one was
they
City.
They were shocking last night.
One was City. But prior to that, the Palace game. Sean Dyche rarely goes on these losing runs and streaks. So they will probably, I mean, you're going to get a game against them this weekend for sure. He's definitely going to have them up for it. But then they are in a bit of a bad rut at the moment, which means you could, if you blow them away, I think first, it's one of those, we say it so often, it's such a cliche, but first goal is going to be really important. You guys score first, and I think it'll ease the nerves and you'll be able to comfortably go on and win. But if it stays tight, they'll believe that they can get something from the game as well. It's going to be a tough game.
Since Burnley came back up, almost this time last year, we won 1-0 very late at Wembley with a Christian Eriksen goal. The year before was a 1-1 draw very early in the season at Wembley. The three previous games at White Hart Lane were all 2-1 to Spurs.
Tight. One goal in it every time.
I'd expect it to be tight again.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah,
in spite of, I mean, it's really difficult to say they were shocking last night when they played Man City.
City were on their day.
They got to a point in the game, Burnley. I wouldn't say they gave up, but they were like, yeah, we ain't bringing it back round. I didn't think they had pressure on the ball or anything. That said, that City was the best I'd seen from City in a long time, which then feels a little bit odd to be saying come off their assets potentially. But I think timing's right to move off Edison and Sterling. KDB is a hold for me.
Yep.
Any game, any time with him.
Yep. What's the plans for the Crystal Palace Brighton Monday night game in game week 19? The current plan is to move Pope to Guaita for FPL Corf at Corf FPL to make the most of the Palace run plus cover game week 19. Any other ideas?
Yeah, I think those are the suitable two to consider is
Guaita and Zaha. I was looking at PVA potentially for Soyuncu during that period.
Picked up an injury last night.
Originally, that was my plan. It was either Dunk or PVA, either or, because both Brighton and Palace have a 3-for-1 against Leicester during that period. And Leicester's game is Liverpool. So it was to pick up one of those defenders. Zaha may put his hand up and change my plans on that if I change my formation to a 3-4-3. At the moment, I'm 4-3-3. Any of those, but you'll get a 3-for-1 against Leicester during that time period and Liverpool, who play each other in that one. So any which one you want to go with, I think is acceptable.
I think, obviously, there's an injury to Van Aanholt. Schlupp is rated as a midfielder in this game. Joel Ward's out for a while. I wouldn't consider Martin Kelly. It's not a long-term solution. And they always seem to have injury problems at centre-half, be it Cahill. Saka obviously came back last night, got sent off. Tompkins doing okay, but wouldn't consider. The only other name I'd possibly mention from Palace is James McArthur at 7.8 million, who actually got given the man of the match last night and is liable to the odd tackle tier. But then that's more expensive than the likes of Mount.
Or McGinn. 0.2 to Tielemans, or even Grealish is cheaper.
Whatever. There's others either side that are definitely better choices. So I think, yeah, I can understand the Ederson to Gaeta move. You're not going to get the benefit of the fixture, therefore. So probably say hold Ederson until, what's the fixture there? Arsenal.
Away. Or home, sorry.
No, it's at the Emirates. Hold Ederson to the 15th, right, and then go Gaeta on the 16th. If that's who you've got. He said he's moving from Pope, didn't he?
Yeah.
But yeah, I'd probably... I don't think Pope's playing very well at the moment. I don't know if you're desperate to... I don't know. It's a little bit like my Wilson and Tomori case. You've got Pope, who's at Tottenham this weekend. You've got Gaeta at Watford. I see the temptation of being desperate to make that move this weekend. But at the moment, we've got no idea what we might get from Watford.
Yeah.
So I would probably hold through the Tottenham fixture, hold Burnley for the following week, then go to Gaeta for that Monday night. It's probably a more sensible move.
Yeah. That is the Twitter questions, James.
Nice.
That is the Twitter questions. Question for you.
Go on.
Where and how do people find out who the man of the match points go to? Because I was looking at the end of the day on Sunday, and I don't have my date of birth in my Twitter account, which meant I can't follow Sky Fantasy Football, because you have to be over 18 to follow the Sky Fantasy Football Twitter account.
It's very simple.
Yeah.
You put your date of birth in.
Yeah, yeah, and then you just follow the Sky Fantasy Football account.
And then you take your date of birth out.
Ah, I didn't know you could do that. Yeah. There we go. Because that was one thing I was thinking, where can I... Because I went onto the match reports on Sky Fantasy Football and scrolled down, and whoever was given the man of the match on that match report, is that correlate to fantasy football or not always?
No, you kind of have to go into below where you see your team and the results. You kind of have to dive into the fixture.
Yeah.
And then you've obviously got players from both teams, and
you can see all the scores and stuff.
Star. There's no real easy way. Yeah, there is another way. You can go stats, and you can just select it for the week.
Right.
And there is a table where you can highlight it down to the man of the matches. Yeah.
How fiddly.
You know, Tomori has most, I think it's most passing tier two this season now. More than Soyuncu.
That's crazy.
Following the weekend, yeah.
Mm. Can I admit something to you?
Go on.
And all the listeners as well. I don't listen to back to the show.
We know that, mate.
yeah, I don't listen back to any of our pods except this one.
Really?
This is the one pod that we do every week, where I feel like to crystallize my thoughts, because we go through so many players and prices and permutations and combinations in a half hour period. This is the one where I feel like, because of the planning involved, I need to sit back, listen through, and write down what we talked about of all the shows.
There was a podcast about 6 weeks ago. You barely spoke.
Yeah.
You just went, yeah, I'm going to listen back to that.
yeah. And it's funny because the others, we talk and I know what we've spoken about, and FPL was just such a different game. But this one is the one that I need to listen to twice, even though we've recorded it. I'll be interested to know what the listeners think. Is there people that actually listen and write down notes as they're going along, or how you're digesting this information? Because I feel like in the half an hour, there's a lot. Or do you listen again or what? Just when James at Planet FPL Pod tweets the actual podcast, so you just find him on Twitter, whack it in the comments. Are you writing notes and stuff? Because I'm fascinated. Because this is the one I listen to and I don't listen to any of the
others. I'm interested to hear that.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
How do people digest this information?
Doesn't say a lot for the rest of our content, which is trying to move our Sky listeners to.
Well, Tottenham's a comedy show, from what I can understand.
Yes.
Or a shit show, whichever one it is. And yeah, the Clash of the Correspondents, they're the stars, really, aren't they, in that? Yes. Final Plan is a last-minute panic.
We there won't be a Clash of the Correspondents this Thursday. We'll be doing their featured podcast. It's Series 3, Episode 21, I believe, tomorrow.
Yes.
Reviewing the first 8 game weeks.
Just a preview of the last two.
Mainly, obviously, looking from an FPL perspective.
Yes.
I have two things I want to say before we finish up.
Do it.
The first is, obviously, we do record this podcast every Wednesday and we'll continue to do so, other than the 25th and the 1st. 25th is obviously Christmas Day. Boo. That means we're going
to... Oh, mate, if you're watching YouTube, I've got my Christmas jumper on. What are you doing about?
So you have, actually, yeah. Quite strangely. We will be doing an extended podcast on Christmas Eve for Sky, Tuesday the 24th, which will be about an hour, looking ahead to all of the fixtures, because we're not going to release anything the New Year's week, so we'll be covering Boxing Day, the 28th, New Year's Day, all in one go, so an extended pod for that. And I've just looked at the data in terms of who's had the most man of the matches so far this season.
Yeah.
Did you manage to have a glance at my phone?
I did.
Have you seen who it is?
I did.
The most man of the matches so far this season in Sky Fantasy Football is Adama Traore, 6.9 million. Selected by 2.96% overall and 6.8% in the top 1,000. However, a note of caution, other than the Manchester City fixture when he scored twice and an assist at Crystal Palace, all his bonus points are coming from Man of the Match awards.
That's crazy that he's winning so many Man of the Match awards without actually affecting the game.
Sorry,
in terms of
assist against
goals.
Villa as well. So his recent returns where he's had more than 2 points, assist at Bournemouth, assist and man of the match against Villa, man of the match against Newcastle, our tackles tier against Southampton, goals, man of the match shot tier at Man City,
man of the match
against Watford, man of the match against Crystal Palace.
How many man of the match awards?
He's
six.
Had five man of the match
five
awards.
Out of 14 is pretty good going. That's a third of his game.
Well, it's not that. It's five out of nine.
What? That's nearly half his games. That's more than half his games. What are we talking about? That's mad.
Yeah. It's not a consideration for me.
As Jeremy Clarkson would say, and on that bombshell. So do hit like, subscribe, notifications, comment on the tweets as we put them out. I hope you're enjoying our series on Sky Fantasy Football. We'll be back at you next week. Ciao for now.
Cue music. Good luck, everyone. That's Cue music man-child, isn't it?
Yes.
Football Show.
Sports Social Podcast Network.